1059. Kaya Biz.
Inside your business. Inside your business on Kaya Biz is powered by Capitec Business Banking. Banking. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone.
All right, thanks for staying with us on Kaya Biz. It's 10 to 7 here on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air. Now, a lot of people are using online stores, Shein being one of the most popular, Temu as well, and it's given South African and other countries' clothing manufacturers challenges, because when those online companies are dominating, people in South Africa are then moving away from brick and mortar, buying to those online international stores. What does that do for retailers? What does that do for jobs in South Africa? What does that do for the economy and money circulating in South Africa, growing us, growing our creative sector? And is it worth it? Do we need to think a little bit more carefully about where our hard-earned rands are going and trying to, you know, be a little bit patriotic in how we spend our money? Or is it all about, in this economy, saving it as much as possible? Let's speak to Irshad Kathrada, the Chief Executive Officer of the Localization Support Fund. Irshad, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening, Nzinga. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Well, I think there's a lot to unpack, just even in the way you frame the question, because is this about the consumer and the consumer being more patriotic? I do struggle a little bit with that argument. And I want to give you one statistic that gives me a lot of pause and concern. So for every 2 rand that South Africans earn, they spend 3 rand. So what that means is there's an additional rand of spending that's not coming from wages. It's either coming from social grants, or it's coming from drawdowns of savings, or it's coming from credit. So we're dealing with a consumer environment at the moment that's incredibly constrained. And so I understand the reason and the rationale why some consumers might move to platforms like Shein and Temu and some of them, because it does appear that they offer a good value proposition, but you know, not everything is as it seems. And the work that we've commissioned as the Localization Support Fund has really tried to understand why is it that these online retailers seem to be cheaper than some of the South African offerings. Is it real? Is it true? Is it sustainable? Or are these guys just coming in a predatory way to take up market share, which will then ultimately lead to the demise, as you say, potentially of the retail and the manufacturing sector?
And?
Well, the reality is there are some loopholes that they've been exploiting in the way they have been governed in South Africa. So, for example, for a long time, goods that were imported through these platforms weren't subject to the right customs duties. So when a retailer, one of the big box retailers, like a Truworths, a Woolworths, a Foschini, if they are importing clothes, they've got to pay a 45% duty. And on top of that, there's VAT that needs to be levied. Mm-hmm. For a long time, these online retailers were exploiting loopholes in the tax code that meant that they were coming in duty free. Now that got closed out by SARS at the end of last year. And we started to see that has some impact. The problem is that if you go into Temu right now and you order clothing, the price you see is just the retail price from the exporter. You don't see the taxes, you don't see the shipping, you don't see the VAT. And so that's arguably misleading South African consumers. And so the price that you think you're paying is ultimately not what you're paying. Now that's actually illegal in terms of the various legislation that we have guarding against such sort of exploitations of pricing. And we've had now a conversation with the National Consumer Commission off the back of the work that we've done, and they're the agency in South Africa that's responsible for consumer protection, amongst others. And they'll be launching an investigation into e-commerce, and in particular trying to address some of these pricing gaps. In addition to some of these loopholes, we also looked at what other countries are doing around the world. So what are some of the developed countries like France and the UK doing? But also what are some of the developing countries similar to ourselves, like Turkey, Indonesia, India even? And it's quite interesting because every country is facing the similar challenge that as these platforms come into country, it erodes jobs and it erodes manufacturing capacity. Mm. So we've been able to estimate that about 8,000 jobs may have been lost over the last 5 years just through the introduction of these players. I mean, they've gone at such an insane market share, and we've lost about 1 billion rands worth of manufacturing output as a result. Other countries have faced something similar. So in France, for example, they've put an outright ban on what they call ultra-fast fashion retailers on platforms like Facebook, on Google, etc. Because if you go onto any of these online platforms and you type for any clothing item, even if you type the name of a South African retailer, the first offerings you get are going to be from these international e-commerce players. They've bought up all of this ad space. And so France has made that illegal. Turkey has made it, you need to have licenses to be able to sell into the country, and they've put caps on the amount of advertising that, you know, ordinary consumers will be subjected to. But if we look at what countries like India have done, they've gone even further, and they've said, if you want to be selling in our country, you've got to be procuring a certain amount from South African from Indian manufacturers in their case. And I think that that is an important thing for us to consider, is how do we ensure that consumers get the best offerings that they possible and the best variety? We want to make sure that there's something available for every pocket in this country. But at the same time, we do not want to destroy jobs.
And I think when you're speaking, Irshad, about the need for every pocket available, it feels as though there is, and this is anecdotal, there is also a diminishing of that in the South African economy, because 10, 20 years ago, you could buy cheap clothing, right? There were places to buy cheap clothing. There are still retailers that sell cheap, fashionable clothing in South Africa. But, you know, you don't want to be a Luddite or left behind, so you do partake in this, but it feels as though with the kind of crisis and the numbers that you're talking about and a high growth scenario with limited intervention, that impact could reach over 6.2 billion rand in non-realized South African clothing manufacturing sales, over 18,000 manufacturing jobs and 16,400 retail jobs by 2030. I'm quoting directly from that survey there. That's very scary. That seems like you do need a little bit of a strong intervention, and a sense of urgency is needed.
Absolutely. I mean, the clothing sector is such an important one for South Africa through the retail value chain into manufacturing. It employs a huge number of people, and 66% of people that work in clothing manufacture are women. And it's one of the few industries in manufacturing that employs women. And we know how important the upliftment of women is to just community development. And so if we lose those jobs, we lose such an important part of our economy. So I agree with you. I mean, we not only do we need to level the playing field, we need to think strategically about how important is this industry to South Africa, and are we prepared to do what's required to ensure that jobs are saved? And look, I think, again, we do need to think about the consumer, and I think it is important. And you may be right that there were more offerings available for consumers previously that were cheaper, that were made in South Africa. I'd need to look into the stats to determine that. But, you know, in addition to the survey that we've done and the research that we've done looking at these international e-commerce players, we've been doing a lot of work with the South African retailers trying to identify how do we bring a much better value proposition for them through local manufacturing. And we've had a lot of support, because I think, you know, the local retailers are realizing that if they want to compete with the likes of Shein and Temu, then they've got to be much more agile and much more responsive to what customers want. And it's really interesting, because that lends itself to local manufacturing, because you don't want to be carrying too many items on your shelf that may or may not sell. So you'd rather just stock it with, you know, 1 to 2 weeks worth of goods. And if it's working, you order more. And if you have a local manufacturer who can supply you, then you can get it off the shelves much, much quicker. And it's interesting, because that is what Shein and Temu have done. I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, the negative ways in which they've impacted the economy, but we also looked into what are they doing right. And one of the things that they do right is that they use data analytics to better understand what customers want, and they provide that information directly to their manufacturer so that they can shift production. And so if, you know, red sweaters with pockets aren't selling well, but red sweaters without pockets are, then they can immediately change and shift, and we don't have to have these gaps and sell things that customers don't want. So there is absolutely a role for government in addressing this. But I think there's a way in which South African retailers can learn and be a lot smarter. And we're trying to help them with some of the intelligence around, you know, what are the key areas, what are the key product categories that South Africa is looking at? And then who are the manufacturers that could potentially supply? And how do we get them to meet them on price while still being compliant and, you know, still providing good quality, decent jobs for South Africans as well?
Yeah, and I think as we wrap up, Ishad, that's also one of the advantages is the allegations that there is copyright infringement, there is sometimes outright theft from small designers, there's not as stringent labor laws and regulations, which also allows things to move quicker. And so we also want to be ethical producers in South Africa because of our history and the like.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if I could say, sorry, one last thing. It's like coming back to the point that you raised. Look, I think South Africans that can, we do have a moral responsibility to spend well and to spend in a way that doesn't fuel the inequalities that we don't want to see, but also doesn't fund the bad labor practices in parts of the world that we don't want to see. And so for those consumers that can, think twice about going on these platforms. Go to a South African retailer, go to your local maker's market, try to find locally made goods. It really does help to build our economy.
Yeah, and thrift as well, secondhand shops, cute ones on Instagram, all of that. Ishad Kathrada, Chief Executive Officer of the Localization Support Fund. Thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening, just taking us through those international retailers and what the South African market can do to try and catch up and recover some of that market share.
That's the sound of your business growing. Whether you're starting out or scaling up, turn your passion into profit with Capitec Business Banking. Save up to 50% on fees. Get fast credit approvals, personalized support, and Forex for your business. Open your business banking account on our app. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone. Capitec is an authorized FSP, 46669. T's and C's apply.